First Peter, the first chapter. Peter writing to the strangers. Isn't that amazing? Those that were scattered out. Verse 9, I'd like to look there. It said, receiving, in believing, receiving in of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. I kind of underscored this long ago. It was the prophets that was inquiring and searching diligently. It wasn't the educated people of that time, of that day. It was the prophets who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. That grace, by the way, is Christ Jesus who came and that grace extended from that day to our day through him, and it's a never-ending matter. He said, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Just a little note here, some tried to tell us, well, the Holy Spirit didn't come until the day of Pentecost. You know, over and over and over, that's not made, you know, not to be true at all. The Spirit was here from the beginning. The Spirit's what created this whole thing that we call the world and the universe that we live in. So just lay that to rest while we're here. Which was in them, did signify the Spirit that was in them, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed. That not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, such things angels desired to look into. I kind of pondered over these things, and I kind of went to going back looking in the Old Testament at things that, oh, there's much more in the Old Testament than there is in the New. And sometimes we wonder, why didn't those people see these things? Well, we could ask the same question of us today, couldn't we? Why in the world don't we see these things? It's so simple. It's a mystery, and yet it's not a mystery to them that believe. The Holy Ghost bearing witness, always bearing witness. And the Holy Ghost, it came in a little different manner with the coming of Christ, because the glory that was to come had been identified by the Holy Ghost. So it bears much more evidence in our day, because we have the Old and the New Testament, the whole Word of God. And two, I wondered, all these things that have been prophesied and the prophets, the ones that was searching diligently into them, but what moved them? Holy Ghost. It was steady moving them to look into these things. And I go back in the Old Testament, I go to reading go to my old commentary laying up there, and I look in it, and most often they get all messed up in towns and times and where this come from and where that come from and all kinds of jargon, and they leave off the most important part, the suffering of Christ. That's what he's talking about here. That's what they were testifying to, the suffering of Christ when he would come. And we don't do any different today. All the theologians we got out there, 99 and 9/10 of them, are wrapped up in where was Edom? And where was this? And where was that? And they've done all the archaeological work and trying to prove these things up when the Holy Ghost is the only proof there is. You can't prove it. You can't disprove it either. A whole lot of what's going on today is disproving. God, Jesus Christ, God sent Jesus Christ and he came upon sin, carpenter's son. Or he wasn't born of a virgin. And on and on and on. And we get wrapped up in Armageddon. And stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if Armageddon didn't happen in now. I'm not too smart about that stuff, you understand. I'm just telling you that if we could be just as mistaken as they were in looking for a man, could this be a spirit? I'm just laying some stuff at y'all and think about these things. Could this man, could this be a spirit? Armageddon, it may be being fought now. When the Lord comes back again, that may be the very end of it. Boom! I'm quite certain the old temple's not coming back. I'm quite certain we're not going to offer up those old sacrifices. And I'm quite certain when it said, and all Israel shall be saved, it means the Israel, not that old Israel. In the book of Colossians, the first chapter, verse 24, he said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you? And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. This is a continuing work for the people of God. They must suffer the same afflictions. That's what was preached in the old day. It had stipulations, you understand. Obey. Really, that was the only one. And I'll show you this mystery. That's what they were searching to see. What is the mystery? And the mystery, the total mystery of it, that God is going to save his people. But it's mysterious unto most people in that day and our day. He said, the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now you can get every old commentary out that you got out or can find. And if it didn't manifest, you know what the manifestation was? The resurrection of Jesus Christ was a principal one. When he was resurrected from a grave, it carried great power and strength. unto his people. Manifest. Go back over in Genesis 49 chapter. I'm going to just kind of chase this stuff a little bit. In verse 8, he said, Judah, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall arouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. This was the blessing. Not for just Judah. Well, who is Judah? It's kind of like saying, and all Israel shall be saved. Why? Because it's a command of God. It's a promise. It's a mystery unto most people. He said, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. These people don't find rest in this place. Where is Shiloh? Well, they won't chase it around up there again. They won't chase that around. Where is Shiloh? It's wherever the Lord is. He come unto his own. Yeah. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's coat unto the choice band. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Who's that talking about? It could be no other, could it? One that's gathering the grapes. What's he got on him? Grape juice. But really is representative of the gathering of his people together by his shed blood. And who you think saw this? Those prophets that it was revealed to. And none of they're still saying, we be Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage to anything. We've been delivered. And that's what they're saying today. Same thing. Man, I walked down that aisle and I've done everything. Now it's God's duty. Can you imagine such a thing? It's up to God now to do his part. That's what they said. God done his part. It was his finished right here. As it ever could be, as far as God is concerned. We had to wait, but it came in Isaiah, the 60th chapter. Quite often, he said, arise and shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Who is the thee? The Lord's people. The church. The one in the wilderness and the one now. It wasn't any different. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness of people. The picture of our day, isn't it? But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. it's going to be revealed. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eye round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Isn't that something? Then thou shalt see and flow together. We're going to be all one, people. And be enlarged because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah shall Ephraim Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebel shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory. And what is that? Certainly wasn't no temple, I guarantee you that. That kind of temple that's made with hands. It was his people, his church. That's the house. The house of his glory. That's where his glory is going to rest. On the house. 63rd chapter. Verse 1, he said, who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bosra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. That I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. There could be no error here as to who this is. And we don't need to argue about where Edom is, or when it was, or when it's going to be again, or when its fall comes, and how it captured. I read all about it. It's way up in some high mountains, this fortified city. But you know what? They were against the Israel of God. Now, that's the important part. All that other junk doesn't mean nothing. Mighty to say, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Now, my commentary says this is talking about the last days. Well, it is. But he a little more direct in it, that it's when the Lord's second coming is. Now, he's treading that wine fat that right now. And he's going to tread it until that day that he comes back. He's issuing forth judgment and justice. And he's treading him, I think. We won't have no falling out if you don't believe that, but I have trodden the winepress alone. When was he doing this alone? And the people that was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger, he will do it, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. We live in that day. And I looked, and there was none to help. The way we can confirm this is when he was pouring out his soul. There wasn't anybody at all left. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I would tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I would bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. It's speaking here of obedience. Who can do that? Only a man with a new heart. He still can't do it in the flesh, but he can do it in his heart and his soul. And have knowledge about it in his head. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. This is what they were prophesying. He was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. And what did they do? Rebel. As Ezekiel 21st chapter. And thou, profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end. You know what? I'm going to take the diadem away from Israel. But it's not going to depart from Judah. It's still going to be there. But I'm going to take it away from Israel. And as far as his people are concerned, it's going to be an end to this iniquity that they've been doing. Thus saith Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. Oh, we Abraham's children. We sit in high places. But that's who's coming down. I will overturn. It's pretty positive here, isn't it? He's going to take it away and give it to another people. I'll overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Where's the diadem and the crown going to be? Not upon Israel anymore, that old Israel, but to the new Israel. You know what? Lord's going to wear that crown, but so is his people. And you know what the crown is? It's a crown of righteousness. Yeah, it's going forth. Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. (Clears throat) verse 14. He said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." Well, you think he's doing, he's treading it out, isn't he? "And in those days shall Judah be saved." Just that simple. Nothing complicated about that. Judah be saved. "And Jerusalem shall dwell safely," right in the middle of it. "And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." That's her name. Because the Lord is going to give it to them. That's the inheritance. That's the promise. "I'm going to send you a Savior. And he's going to save my people. And I'm going to be their God. And they're going to be my people."
And the promise is sure. And how do we know? Because he raised from the dead. You can't be more positive than that, and more sure than that. Any power that is powerful enough that one can raise himself from the dead, you can put your hope in. But anything less than that, you can have no hope in. But Christ is that Shiloh. He is the one that should come. His it is. And God is going to give it to him. He has promised his son because he has been faithful and he has performed everything that has been given to him to do. Not one thing less, but not one thing lacking. It has all been accomplished. How it plays out at this point, there's a lot we don't know about it. A lot we do know about it. But the important thing is that Christ has assumed that crown when he rose from the dead, and it's never going to depart from him again. Never, ever. All right.